Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. He is Big Joe Dubin. Dr. Craig Nick Frazier is here. I am here. Brandon Bigsby is back at the studio. We're at Salvo's here in Mount Juliet. And we're watching about what other signings may come the way of the Titans. Wandale Robinson is the big one so far, and we say hello now to John McClain down in Houston. And John, one, how are you? And two, been kind of quiet in Houston today.
Well, it's been a flurry over the last few days as they've re-signed players to extensions, and they'll end up signing offensive linemen, hopefully using two of their top three picks in the first two rounds on offensive linemen. And draft-wise, while everybody's focused on free agency today, you know, nobody signed till Wednesday till 3 o'clock, but everybody's agreeing Wednesday's almost going to be a letdown. The thing that I saw that most interested me about the Titans started with the Cardinals re-signing James Conner, their running back, and then signing Atlanta free agent Tyler Allgeier, which means they will not be taking the best running back in the draft, maybe the number one player overall in the draft, and that's Jeremiah Love of Notre Dame. And we talked last week about what a great running back, how it can transform your franchise. Titans saw it with Derrick Henry. He didn't pay off right away, but he certainly did after 2 years. The Oilers did it with Earl Campbell, who totally transformed the franchise. And I know they need pass rushers, but as I've told you guys, Robert Saleh can turn chicken, you know what, into chicken salad. And
I know
so they don't have to use the fourth overall pick on defense. They need to get Love and put Love. And I'll tell you what, if they don't, you will hear cheering from Houston, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, because we had Jeff Fisher on last week and asked him specifically about taking a running back to go with the young quarterback. And obviously he talked about 1996, that when they took Eddie, that was the whole idea, was to look at the future, to take some pressure off of Steve McNair, who they had taken a year before. And ultimately it worked out. Then you referenced, you know, some other times that the franchise has done it. I mean, look at Derrick Henry in the second round a few years ago. So I'm for it. And all the cards are kind of the planets are aligning that he's probably going to be there at four.
Unless somebody trades.
Yeah.
Somebody could trade with Arizona thinking the Titans might get him. Maybe the Titans trade a pick to swap a spot. To be guaranteed of getting him. Another thing to consider, Mike Bogonzi, where did he come from? Kansas City. Have you ever seen Kansas City do anything big with a running back like that? Even before they got good with Mahomes, Priest Holmes was a great running back for them. He was a free agent, maybe the best free agent running back ever. And they had Christian Okoye, but they just, in the Andy Reid era, it's like they didn't value a running back. And it's because they picked Love, but they didn't, as far as I can remember off the top of my head, target. But they were never bad enough to be fourth overall. And also, you didn't have a prospect like Jeremiah Love coming out who could help Cam Ward as a runner and as a receiver. And we talked about this last week. One of the most impressive things I've seen in all the combines I've watched was Love and his backup, Jadarius Price, asking if they could run routes with the receivers after they finished with the backs. That was impressive. And plus, I think, Chase, it was you that brought it up last week about, you know, you move into a new stadium. You want to sell tickets. You want to sell suites. You don't want people just buy them and not show up.
Yeah.
You got a star power like Steve McNair and Eddie George, and I'm not saying Cam Ward and Jeremiah Love will be Steve McNair and Eddie George, but you're giving yourself a chance, and people will be fired up. There's nothing like drafting a quarterback in the first round, and the higher you draft him, the more fired up media gets, the more fired up fans get, And then when you draft the best running back, and he's a guy who can also be a great receiver, you talk about getting fans and media even more fired up. It's can't miss.
By the way, John, like, this is what happens when you come on with us. It's not a huge signing, but the Texans have signed former Bears defensive end Dominique Robinson to a one-year deal up to $4 million. So they have made a move.
They usually sign defensive linemen who are cheap. You know, they've still got to re-sign a couple. They've re-signed starting right tackle Sheldon Rankins, who played really well, 17 starts last year. And they also need to re-sign Tim Settle Jr. And so the defensive line of the Texans, to me, is the best coach position on the team. And it's not because of Damiel Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. It's what they do with the backups and what they do with their starting tackles. They take guys who bounced around other teams, come in here, get this coaching, this scheme, and they play really well.
John McClain is on with the Chase and McJoe Show. John, the Tua news cutting him today and a $99 million dead cap hit. I mean, did you ever think in your wildest dreams you would see that kind of story?
No, of course not, Joe, but we're going to see more and more of that as teams make big mistakes, as the Cardinals have with Kyler Murray. I'd rather have Tua at 1.3 than I would Kyler Murray. Tua's led the league in yards. He's been to the playoffs two times. It's great for him to get a new zip code if he goes to Atlanta. You know, Mike, he'll be Michael Penix's backup, or he'll be starting while Penix gets healthy. He's got weapons there in Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. You know, that offense, if it just gets any kind of above-average play from the quarterback, they have a chance to be prolific. And then the competition in the NFC South, Tampa just took a blow, and Mike Evans agreed to go to the 49ers on a three-year deal.
John, the Malik Willis now going to replace Tua in Miami, 3 years, $67 million, $45 million guaranteed. For a guy that's never started more than three games in a row, I mean, what – obviously, they see something there. Jeff Lafley saw him with Green Bay, but, I mean, that's a lot of money for a quarterback who's unproven.
It is, but when he played for the Packers, he played really well. How much of that was Matt LaFleur and that system and that offense after the way he bombed out with the Titans? And they didn't have to overpay for him. So they've got him, and Lafley ought to know him well from seeing him in meetings and practice every day. Good opportunity for him. I don't think that team's going to be very good. But I'm not surprised they didn't keep Tua around. Tua's not a bad guy. Tua Tagovailoa is a good guy. But as long as he was there, it was always going to be about him. So they had to let him go, no matter where he signs. And I think it's a great deal for Malik Willis.
John, we're 4 hours into this. No movement on Trey Hendrickson. It's – Titans fans love him to come here. I mean, he's a hefty price tag for all that, but it'll be interesting to see because he's good, but is he worth all that money at 32, 33 years old?
Boy, I would be very leery of giving a guy a lot of money at that age, especially a guy who was injured much of last year. You know, the Titans got money. I like the fact that the Raiders overpaid for Tyler Linderbaum. He just took the center pay to a new level with what he got from the Raiders. But they're going to have Fernando Mendoza, and they spent for him. I think they'll spend for another offensive lineman before they focus on it in the draft. They may sign that tackle from Green Bay. But I like it. If you've got money and you have a need, overpay for a player who has been consistently good, not some guy who's older coming off a bad to mediocre season. And I love what the teams that have money are doing. And the Titans have money. You know, fans and media want them to get out, start spending some. Wandell Robinson is a good deal because Brian Daboll wanted. Tell you a very interesting thing I was just looking before I came on. In 2024, Robinson had 93 catches. Last season, he had 92. But in 93, he had 699 yards. That's 7.5 per carry. But this year he had 1,014. That's 11. I guess a lot of it had to do with the quarterback. A lot of it had to do with what they were doing with the play calling and stuff. But Daboll's got to be excited to get him. If you had Wandale Robinson and you get another lineman and then you get Jeremiah Love, that offense is going to be so much better next season.
Oh, I totally agree. John, your thoughts on Trubisky coming here? Of course, him and Dable were together in Buffalo, but, I mean, that's a solid backup, right?
He's a backup. He's a really solid backup. He's been a starter. Remember when he came out of North Carolina, he had only started, I think, 13. He is one of those guys that history says shouldn't have been drafted that high because he didn't have a body of work, just like Ty Simpson this year. People are leery. Only 13 and starts, and they go back to Anthony Richardson, 13 starts. And is it the player? Is it the system? But I think getting Trubisky in there, he's had to start. He's been in the playoffs. I think he is a terrific backup.
We will have more with John McClain coming up here in just a few minutes, and there might be a piece of news breaking. We'll check that during the break. John McClain with us. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, and some signings are coming through as we continue with John McClain down in Houston. The Titans are signing John Franklin Myers to a 3-year, $63 million deal with $42 million guaranteed. That is according to Jordan Schultz of Yahoo Sports. He's put that out there. Also, Tremaine Edmonds, 3 years, $36 million to the Giants. So he is off the market. And then John Franklin Myers does reunite with Robert Saleh and comes to the Titans. John, what are your thoughts on that one?
Well, first of all, what it means to the draft.
Yeah.
Franklin Myers has, I think, 7 sacks last year, 7.5 the year before. He's versatile. He'll be 30 in September, but still, that means, to me, they're less likely to draft that pass rusher with the 4th pick, which means it would put them in better position to sign Jeremiah Love. And things that go on around them have something to do with it as well. But if I was a Titan fan right now, I'd be pumped because he can get the quarterback. He's not great, but he's good. He's an experienced veteran who can help the defense.
I think that Jeffrey Simmons likes it too, because right before it came out, he tweeted the eyes looking emoji, and I think that means he approves of that one. So I think those
you
two...
know he does, because he wants good players by him, but he also, like any defensive lineman, would like experienced players by him.
Arden Key will stay in the division. He goes to the Colts on a 2-year deal worth up to $20 million. So Arden Key leaves the Titans and goes to the Colts, according to Jordan Schultz. So the Titans have made the moves mainly on offense. Now they make a defensive move, and there's still a lot out there. But, you know, the more I look at this, the more things start to point to what we've talked about over the course of the last few weeks, and that is Jeremiah Love at 4. What would that mean for Tony Pollard? Would you be open to keeping both of them, or do you just give the keys to Love and move on?
Well, I think I would keep both of them unless somebody offered me a trade deal. I mean, Pollard can't have much time left on his contract, does he?
He's got 2 years left, but they could get out this year with not a big dead cap hit.
Is Spears still the backup?
For now, but I could see him being gone.
The way it's gone now, people have used two backs a lot. That was a formula for the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl. And I'm wondering, what in the world is Seattle doing for a running back? Zach Charbonnet, they blew out his knee in the playoffs, I think, or right at the end of the season. I think then he's probably not going to be ready for the start of the season. You talk about a team that's desperate for a running back, it would seem to be Seattle. And based on what they've done with general manager John Schneider, through the years, they will probably find a way to solve that problem. And it won't be, of course, with Jeremiah Love. But, boy, I tell you, the way everybody's talking about Love up there in Nashville, if they don't take him, it's going to be a disappointment.
Absolutely. John McClendon is on with us, the Chase and Big Joe Show, live from Salvo's here in Mount Juliet. John, Travis Kelce announced he's coming back for his 14th season. Chase had a good point earlier. We think Travis Kelce was so upset how it ended last year, no Mahomes, the way they bounced out, that he wants to give it one more run. But, John, he's got to come back as a Travis Kelce from like 4 to 5 years ago, right? Not the last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, well, he's not coming back to Travis Kelce 4 or 5 years ago. If he were, then other teams would have been interested. I saw one story. He took loyalty over money. Give me a bleeping break. How many people were going to offer Travis Kelce more than 1 year at $15 million?
Yeah, not even his wife.
Money would be the important thing for him because his fiance is worth a couple of billion.
Right.
And he makes a lot. He and his brother sold their podcast for over $100 million. He's going to make a lot more outside of football than he's made in football. And he played better last season than he did the year before. But, Joe, what you said about him not – that last season left a bad taste in his mouth, as it did all Chiefs fans. And what people are wondering now, will Patrick Mahomes be ready for the start of the season? I saw a report last week, it might have been from his agent. Yes, he'll be ready to go on day one. It's easy to say that in March. And truth is, nobody knows.
No, you're right about that. John, if the Chiefs decide to get really go in free agency and all that, I mean, they're back in the top 3 or 4 teams, I would think. If Mahomes comes back healthy, they add a few pieces, they'd have to be back in the top 4 or 5 teams, right?
Well, they might not even be in the top 3, 2 in their division. They may be picked behind the Broncos and the Chargers, which a lot of people are doing now. Because they've gotten older. They've had to make a lot of tough decisions. Trading McDuffie because you couldn't sign him is terrible. The guy's one of the top 3 or 4 corners in the NFL. You're not going to get a guy in the draft to replace him. So it's not a rebuild per se, but boy, they're not going to get the same respect going into this season as they have in recent seasons.
Real quick, Mike Garofalo is reporting the Titans have agreed to terms with cornerback Cordell Flott on a 3-year, $45 million deal, $32 million guaranteed. He's another Giants free agent that comes to Tennessee following Brian Daboll, but he will join Robert Saleh's defense. They need a corner help, John, and they seem to have found it there.
Yeah, boy, one of the biggest busts in franchise history has been Snead. Have they gotten rid of him yet?
Not yet, but I think they're waiting on some medical stuff that might be able to help them get out of that.
Yeah, well, that turned out to be a terrible deal from the previous regime. Hopefully this one will work out better. You know, Brian Daboll's a very respected coach. You know, he did it in New England. He did it when he was with Alabama and Saban. Then he did it with Buffalo. And that first year with the Giants, you know, they made the playoffs. They won a game. He was coach of the year. And then it started going down. A lot of it had to do with their offensive line, with the quarterback. They just had a lot of issues. Daniel Jones couldn't stay healthy. And I think getting him was a terrific move. You guys know how much I respect Robert Saleh. I've had some friends up there go, Robert Saleh, yeah. I said, well, that's what happens when you're a defensive coach and you were fired from your last job, even if it's prematurely. But there's a lot of people in the know around the NFL who really like what they've done with Saleh and Daboll.
John, what would you do with Calvin Ridley at this point? They can cut him. It'd be a $13 million dead cap hit, but they'd save about $13 million against the cap because it's 26.4 right now. He's making actual money, about $20 million a year. So, obviously, you don't want to keep him on that with 2 years left on the deal. But would you go to him and try to restructure to see if he wanted to stay, or would you just flat-out release him?
Usually, if you try to restructure guys, they take it personally, and they'd rather sign for that amount with another team than they would your team. But to me, when you have a quarterback like Ward going into the second year, you need to keep your weapons, even if he has been a big disappointment, because what's it going to take to replace him?
Did you ever notice because one thing I brought up earlier in the year is how hard Cam Ward throws. And I remember McNair was the same way. And Derek Mason has told us that was kind of an adjustment that he and other receivers had to make because Steve threw the ball so hard. Do you remember in like some of the early training camps with McNair of kind of seeing the receivers had to adjust to that? Because Ridley just couldn't hang on to the ball at all. And was it that he just wasn't paying attention, or he just wasn't used to the speed in which Cam Ward threw?
I think with McNair, when he first came in, everybody knew he had a really strong arm. In fact, we wanted to see it. It was not so much about the velocity. It was how far he could throw it. But the receivers did talk about how hard he threw the football, and he had to learn to control it. It's kind of like a pitcher, a great pitcher like Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Sandy Koufax. Those guys had great fastballs. But until they learned to take something off of it and work on accuracy so they could cut down on their walks and get more strikeouts, then they became great. That's the same thing that happened to Steve McNair. He was coached really well, and having Eddie George to be his weapon and his good friend to take pressure off of him, plus the great defense that Jeff and Greg Williams built, that helped McNair considerably. But they did a good job coaching him to get him to adjust to the NFL. And they were fortunate. You could sign him to 7-year contracts back then. You can't do that anymore.
Holy cow. John, how's the World Baseball Classic in Houston?
People are going crazy tonight. Mexico versus the USA. The tickets being scalped are $138.
Woo.
The Astros opener is $68. And if Mexico wins this, Houston will be going on all night in celebration, because we have like 2 million Hispanics down here, and they've gone crazy, all the Mexicans, because they've got the best team they've had in a while. And when they played 2 years ago, the U.S. beat them 11-5. Paul Skeens is starting.
Ooh.
And the Mexican team has a lot of good hitters. They only have one pitcher, though, who's pitched in the majors. So the USA ought to beat them, or it'll be a huge upset.
Real quick, another signing. The Titans have agreed to terms with cornerback Alante Taylor, formerly of the Saints. 3 years, $60 million, $42 million guaranteed.
Bring him home.
So if you get it, if you got it, spend it. I think everybody ought to like what Pagansi's doing right now, bringing in players to target weaknesses. And that's another position you won't have to address in the first round.
I dig it. It's really good.
John, appreciate the time as always. We will talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
Absolutely. We will recap. A lot happened during. So they signed 3 defensive players while we had John. So
Johnny!
They've addressed some big things on offense and now defense. And John Franklin Myers was somebody we all wanted. Alante Taylor. I don't know much about it, the guy they got from the Giants, but I guess he's good with what they paid him. So, but Alante Taylor.
New day, baby. New day.
It is a new day. We will recap all of that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.